So now I'm going to talk about the story of my young life, right? And I think this will be part of the whole. Oh God, I think the camera's got to go down a little bit. You're not seeing my face. You're not seeing my mic. All right, let's move it down. Oh, right, well, now you can see my male boobies. So basically, I'll tell you the story about my younger years. I was born in Derry. For all intents and purposes, I grew up in Londonderry, from 0 to 23. I actually lived in two other neighborhoods. I lived in near the south central part, and then I moved to my grandma's house again, and then we moved over the apartment complex of the school that I once attended, which was South School. And that was kind of weird being a walker. I just thought it was weird walking to school, but I digress. So, it was interesting because I was still living in my grams. So, I mean, again, if I was still living in my grams, I would still have been going to South. Or, because I went there even when I moved. So, anyhow, where's it going at? So, basically, the LEAP program was the early education, early intervention, really for anybody with a special needs, anyone from 3 to 6, because as things haven't really changed, if you're 0 to 3, you go through the state, 3 to 21 is school, and 21 to 64 is the state, and then 64 to death is another part of the state, basically. So I basically, was nonverbal up until roughly 4, but I was enrolled in the LEAP program in the fall of 1990. So I was in basically the school for roughly 18 years. That was a long fucking time, to be quite direct. So I was in that program. So I was, I think, from 1991, 91, 92. So for 2 years, I was in the preschool program. And then 92, 93 was kindergarten. What was really interesting, and I cannot speak because I had to look at the throwback box, but from my understanding, because I'm not sure. I don't think they put the kindergarteners with the preschoolers, but because he had morning and afternoons, and I think for 2 of those years I was in mornings. Afternoons, I think, was the last year, because they had to divvy it up because there's so many in the program. But as you would probably know, that New Hampshire did not have mandatory kindergarten in their schools, because for most part. For the most part of the state, outside of suburban New Hampshire, a lot of the kindergarten programs were in co-located buildings. So you didn't need to build a new building for kindergarten if you already had a building already for those students. But what was interesting, and I'll get to the junior high school, because that's where LEAP was from, from 1988 to the mid-90s. I don't remember when they moved out, but the junior high school's library was really small for its time, and even with it them knocking out the wall, I don't think they gained a lot of space either. Just knowing how small things are when you're a kid, everything looks big, and even when you're, becoming a teenager, it's still relatively small. But anyways, I digress. So I was the class of 93, and there were a lot of typical students in the kindergarten program. Now, the reason why they put typical people in there, was to preach inclusion. From my understanding, just looking back at it, I really think that that was more of a smoke and mirrors, because some of the students I know were really individuals that wouldn't give a damn about people like me, and people that are the middle average to low average. And I think there was a really, really, I came to that realization when I looked through the LEAP stuff again last summer, and I put the two and two together. I'm like, oh, I felt like I was used as a student, as a peer, because the typical students were, I know that the parents were making some money. They weren't people like my mom per se. These were like middle class people. And so those students got basically a free education. But did they learn the meaning of tolerance, of people that don't look totally like them down the road? And I would make a case that the answer is no. And that's a very despicable feeling to feel like if you're the individual that is on the receiving end of the zero tolerance. Without naming names, the AFOL community might know this individual from North Carolina, who had, I think, lived in the Raleigh area. I don't know if that individual still lives there. But that individual is well known in the adult Lego fans community. And that individual was my graduating year of LEAP. And in 98, the summer 98 program, we were together, so we kind of reunited. I didn't remember him, but my mom did, and his mom did. And so, yeah, but you could look at his blog, that individual's blog, and my name, and like, this is in there. You could read between the lines. But, you know, I hate to say this, but in life, your happiest memories can be rewritten with negative or be twisted and warped with just perverted sense of reality. And it really hurt once I really realized that, you know, I don't even know about the atypical peers. If the atypical peers are in some communal form, it was almost as if I was deprived from both. I mean, I prefer being on the typical, but I just felt very isolated and Londonderry in both contexts, not just the typical peers, but even amongst the atypical. There wasn't, I just don't recall seeing the people that I went to LEAP in. Some were in the schools, but I don't know. I just felt like I lost connection to them too. So, but that's a really hard thing to take pride on, is just to just see how people don't care. They don't care about people that don't look or sound or function like them. You have to be perfect. You know, Londonderry was and is like a STEM capital of New Hampshire. Science, technology, something, and mathematics. Forgive me, I'm blanking on it. But yeah, a lot of those people were nerds. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. They were functioning nerds, in reality. And they're not even in the New England borders or even the New York New England borders. They're far, far away, And there's a reason why. It's because we're a scummy town. In fact, it's the people that they hate so much that finance the school district. The school district, as I mentioned kind of on last night's show when I was doing my iOS updates. Oh, and I'll do an iOS update at the end. Because there's some things you need to know. It's breaking news. So I'll get to that in a bit. But, London New York School District was really much a district from the 2000s really exploiting a loophole, a really bad loophole of the adequate education that the state of New Hampshire had to put in, because the Claremont School District sued the state of New Hampshire back in the mid-90s for not getting adequate education, so the state started to essentially redistribute the wealth. But Claremont really got fucked, or towns like Claremont got fucked, because the districts that were getting the funds were the towns like Londonderry, the suburban towns, the Boston area towns, the towns where people probably never been to Grantham or Claremont or any of the other little towns that would have benefited, you know, but the people in Londonderry were lazy fuckers. They did not want to pay for the education. If they did not get state help, they would probably would have had a $100 million budget, okay? And the taxpayers would have to pay up. And really, the taxpayers would not have been in... They would have been in the middle class like my mom and I are. And my family. They would actually... For them to get that adequate level of education, they would have to pay more in local taxes. And they wouldn't be able to afford it. So what you do this is for the welfare for the wealthy-minded people is to get people from poor towns to pay, you know, Londonderry. And let me tell you something. I, you know, in the moment, I'm like, yeah, let's go fight this to state court. But in reality, they were exploiting with intent to exploit every loophole in the adequate funding system and make sure they got favorable judges to get what the school district wanted. Also conflating the facts of the state minimal standards and the Senate Bill 2 system, right? The default budget and the superintendent would mix those things together. The minimal funding in the state is really just a figurative number, in the most literal sense. It's really to the eye of the beholder. It's not objective whatsoever. But they really a lot of the facility stuff, a lot of the education that they put out came, you know, mostly from the taxpayers, but, you know, from the state to relieve taxpayers. And then, you know, North Londonderry, which was where the working class people got basically forced out between the expansion of Manchester Airport and the 28th Strip. So if any house was to be sold, it had to be sold to commercial. And this is how the Londonderry School District was making money, was on the commercial stuff. The town government was fucked over as well. The town that was financing the school district through having an anemic budget on the town side. I mean, they're starving for resources, and yet the school district didn't feel like they needed to pay for anything. They just felt entitled. Without, you know, if there was an athletic thing at the high school, they sure damn wanted to have a Londonderry fire ambulance, an ambulance from the fire department without paying any fees for detail, you know, and God forbid somebody needed a medical emergency on the other end of town, that they didn't care to, you know, pay for, you know, mutual aid and stuff like that. They were really, really sleazy on how they were governing. And so, you know, these people, these millennials and the boomer parents don't understand where all this money was coming from or they really cared. And the millennials, what they did was, basically, the small towns not only redistributed the wealth, but they also basically turned Londonderry literally in a stepping stone for virtually all millennial age graduates to basically get the fuck out of L-Town, literally, and never come back because the taxation, they would never be able to afford it, right? So now they're in these ritzy towns outside of New England. Some are New England, some have moved to Massachusetts, whatever. But they're not coming back to New Hampshire anytime soon. This whole COVID-19 thing, you think they're coming back home? No, they're not coming back home at all. They'll go to the suburbs, but not the suburbs that they came out of their parents' womb. Okay, maybe that's a little too TMI, but you get the point. I'm just looking at my YouTube, and my website is superimposed on the. Oh my god, this is freaking hilarious. I really don't like transparent. Now I'm moving it around. Oh my, you know what? I do not like the transparent stuff in OS X because it is keying up something that's not even on the, or at least from what I understand. That is, I'll post that on my Facebook because that is kind of hilarious. It made me titter for people who are not on my Facebook. So, Londonderry is really a really shitty experience to be living in. And let me, kind of pivot a little bit further and talk about, the experience at the junior high school that was at the time in the early 90s. And, I'm going to tell you some really, very direct stuff that I never really told to many people. The Londonderry Junior High School was one of the most freaking awesomely built buildings in any New Hampshire school. That thing was so fucking ahead of its time. And yet, it could age like fine wine if you take care of the building, right? If you repaint the stuff. That building had Helvetica signage with the Helvetica stickers, of course. It had very progressive designs on the concrete walls. It did have some orangey brown 80s stuff, but had a lot of pot lights. I remember the pot lights in some of them, in some of the rooms. It had the windows to the doors in the classroom. They had gated the netted, the metal netting on it. It was really, cool. The, auditorium was kicked ass. The cafeteria / auditorium. The signage, you talk about circle cropped, defaults with the way Facebook is going. Back in 1982 or the early 80s, I'm assuming the town voted for it in 80 and it opened up in 82, 83. So we're looking at early 80s and maybe they remodeled it in between, but I don't think they did because you typically don't remodel schools within the first decade at least. So, I remember the cafeteria had a pink utensil, right? The fork and knife. It looked like you were, going to an airport, right? It was global signage, but it didn't look too global. I mean, it's the thing. There's a point of modernism and it had a perfect balance of it between the fixtures, the signage. And in fact, I think there was even a wall board and you know what a wall board is, a ticker. And I think it was for the school lunch stuff, which, nowadays it's just nothing, but at the time it was really high tech, because only a few people could have such stuff, right? So it was very, not just technical, but just the architecture just kicked freaking ass. the architecture. I mean, it was, yeah, there's no disputing of that. So, you know, it had fun, fuzzy memories. And when you look at it as an adult, that building looks pretty small. There were classrooms. Basically, when you would take a left in the lobby, were all the classrooms. To the right was the cafe. The offices were on your immediate right. And then the music hall was down the hall a little bit, which... And then the gymnasium, which took a lot of space. And then you would bang a left. Then you would go to the practical arts, which was the woodworking stuff, which I think was removed when the last superintendent took over in the turn of the millennia. A lot of the stuff that the junior high and the middle school had was totally gone, because the whole idea was not to learn how to balance your checkbook or learn how to make beautiful things. They delegated that to sped people, I think. But the typicals, it was all about the world's your oyster, literally, you know, study your literal globe. London is a small segment. Who fucking cares? That was the mantra of SAU 12 in the last 20 years. But at the time, 30 plus years ago, it was still like a working person's town. So you take a left and then you get to the classrooms, right? So that's pretty short. There's like three major classrooms. But you know what really drew me as a kid at LEAP was the second floor. Now the second floor, now we're not talking about the Londonderry Middle School. The Londonderry Middle School, just to kind of divert yourself for a moment, was a reorganization of the district to change the philosophy of elementary and secondary. So they wanted to create the middle school, and what happened was they all the sixth grade teachers in the three schools, South, North, and Methuen, were all, by the class of 98, were reassigned to the middle school, and they added on to the building. So the 7th grade was already there, and 8th grade were already there. In fact, I think prior to the junior high school, they were in the elementary schools. Because, see, the student population was growing a bit, right? So, the middle school in my generation, in only a 17-year split between my mom and our existence, that the middle school, that you had a rising student population, and you wanted to change this philosophy. So, they added on, and it was a huge, I mean... Even looking back at it, even from an adult body, it was still pretty huge. And so what they did was they built a huge, it looks like a fortress when you look at it. But the reason why it looked like a castle or a fortress was that there was four little wings that they called pods, right? Because it looked like a pod. You go into this area. It was kind of like you had a common area. You had a staff area. And then you had the four major studies. Math, science, history, and math. If I'm recalling everything correctly. Let me repeat that again. Social studies, science, math, and... what's that language? English? Had to be. There were four classrooms, the common area with your locker rooms, a study area, and then the staff area. And so you have four of those for the entire sixth grade. So you had about 100 students in each, kind of like elementary school. You instead of going, you know, each of those were like miniature, you know, grades, right? So sixth grade, you know, we kind of commingled with the other schools too, but the problem was if you went to school with somebody and it went into an because you had four of these, you know, teams, right? Each of them had four teams. They were named after storms because that was the theme of the school as a whole. So the lower level was replica to the sixth grade, and it was for seventh grade. Now, again, you weren't commingling with the entire seventh grade as a whole, except for the bus. I don't think it was phys ed. I don't think phys ed was part of it. And lunch, right? My counting of here, and I may have to fix this up in post. But that was what it was at the time in, when I went there as a sixth grader. And then eighth grade was basically the entire old building, and the philosophy was still the same, but you know, for all intents and purposes, it was the old part of the building. You couldn't do the pods, because at that point, the entire building needed to hold one grade. That was how bad, that's how big it was. And I brought up the Library Media Center. That thing was really small for its time, and it's still, I think, pretty, is, to be blunt, for a size of the school, unless they relocated in the building, which they could have done. So going back, you know, kind of going back in the early 90s, one of the things that I remembered very fondly was the art studio, second floor, adjacent to the practical arts, you know, building floor, right? So you go upstairs, you go, I think the science stuff was on the upper level. No. Science was on a lower level because it shared the same physical stuff as the home ec stuff. Because home ec was on the further back of the building. And because you had all the plumbing, because, you know, science, you do more stuff in later in past elementary, right? So you had all that fixtures right there, right? You wouldn't want to, like, do, like, put fixtures randomly on the second floor. So the second floor was all the chalkboard, or what would be later whiteboard and note stuff. There was, I think, a computer lab, but I don't recall where the computer lab ever was. We never were there because we had our own computers. So right. So you go up the second floor, you go through the general studies, you take that right, because you see, so you don't have you couldn't take a left, right? Because you had the auditorium and the gymnasium taking up the second floor. So the second floor was basically the classroom wing. And like I said, the art rooms that took the center part of the building. So you want to talk about, as a kid, I felt like I was in Middlesex County. I felt like I was in some fancy place, and Londonderry was still a rural town. It was still a rural community in suburban New Hampshire. What would become suburban New Hampshire? So you like it as a man's place, and when you look back at it, it doesn't take a genius to build the kind of stuff. But as a little kid, being, you know, and basically mainstream, Leap was the first place of mainstream sped. With obviously older people, but it's still, they were exposed. That's the theme of this stuff. People forget about this with the community-based supports for the adult disabled population. You know, go try to reason with Dan Habib, because you won't reason with a filmmaker, right? So, anyhow, it was all these fuzzy, happy memories, because I remember, like, there was, like, you know how you have the awards stuff, you have, like, your trophy case, right? Well, that's where they put, like, the best art there. And the way I remembered was, it looked like it was embedded within the concrete, either cut out concrete, or they left the concrete, you know, open to put in the trophy case. And then it had, I could be blinking out my memory here, but they had, like, pot lights here. I'm not saying that the junior high school from yester century was the reason why I like pot lights and why I'm resisting them in here in the media room. It wasn't the case. It just looked very progressive. And it, if, again, taken with great care, it didn't, like, distort the realness of Londonderry, to be quite blunt, in my opinion. I could be wrong. A lot of people could argue with it, but it was just so cool. So then we get into the armor. I know it's taking me so long to get to my point about, because the story was about Leap, and then I kind of diverted because I kind of wanted to paint the picture what it was like being a student overall. So I guess I'll have to cut this out. But anyways, so the art studio was this big freaking room. I mean, there was, I think, two art studios, and it was fixtures with faucets and not faucets, but sinks, excuse me, sinks, electrical outlets. Like, it was like a big, like, I'd never been in an art studio like the Londonderry Junior High School since I was there, and I freaking missed that so much. And I think part of the reason why I had such a take me back moments when I was revisiting sixth grade, and let me put this, the adults in the room should have known that the things that I missed so much, I wanted to experience it for my educational worth, right? So by neglecting this kind of reunion of the building and the plant, it wasn't just the building and the plant, but just the resources and the people. If only they had the right people and resources there, it would have been a kick-ass experience. But it didn't happen that way. Things didn't happen. I went a different direction and changed as a human. But my God, that art studio was just so fucking awesome. And I was a really bad artist the autistic messed up self I was. I was not as artistic I'm going to be honest. The autism can do a lot of fucking weird things. And I don't think the brain was at its full capacity given the other stuff going on in me at that time. But my God, if I, you know, going back as a kid, I can't say it enough. It was such a fucking cool experience. And if anybody who was at the junior high school in the early 90s, who is running across this video, who recalls Stephen with a PH, because I was always spelt without the V. I was always mistaken with the PH in the classroom, because there was a PH. But if you do recall me or recall any fond memories, you could hit me up in the comments or find my channels, because, you know, I'd love to hear from you. I would literally love to hear from you if you have any, because this, again, the Londonderry Exposed narrative is a bittersweet one. Yes, there's a lot of anger, a lot of, you know, being raped by the system, but at the flip side of the token, there were so many great memories in my life, in my early life, that I think not repeating those experiences as a Londonderry middle school student, I think really altered my life. And like I said, the art studio was, I don't know how much it cost at the time, because I knew, even then, Londonderry was a pricey town, but my God, the thing looked like you were in Boston, or even, probably not Boston, because it's probably run down, right? But it looked very, very, like, very modern, in terms of just, not in terms of looks per se, but just in terms of the fixtures, like the sinks, the outlets, the lights. I believe there were lights. I don't recall, because again, it's hard for me to find stuff from that time, if they even have stuff from then. But it was such, it was just so much fond memories, and I don't think I just had enough. There were so many memories I do remember from Leap. And in fact, that was where I started using the Max. There's a story to all this. I started using Max in at the junior high school in Leap. Now, I don't particularly remember which Macintosh it was. I could have sworn we had a 2. We might have had it. I think we might have had a sad Mac incident. Something reminds me that the Mac, there was a problem with the Mac. And I remember a computer assistant was trying to repair it or do what you could do with a classic Mac. But I do know we had an LC because it had the capability of running the Apple IIe card. And I will, and the only reason why I stayed up with Authority was one of the applications that did not run on the Mac but ran on the 2G, the 2E, or and maybe we had a 2GS, and maybe I know we had a Macintosh, and we had maybe an LC or a 2. I don't recall, because our computers were we, you know how there's fake walls, there's fake, you know, in a lot of these kindergarten type programs. The computers were kind of partitioned with a soft fake wall or some display or something like that. So I don't recall which Mac, but I do know it was an Apple, and that was kind of where I pivoted. I do know in first grade itself we had an LC too. Yeah, we won't do the chimes of death for the purposes of keeping this show positive. Yes, but yeah, it was, that was my early years. Leap, I think, like I said, I think one of the negatives, the legacy was that the staff kind of remembered me as this cute little boy, and I don't think they really respected me as a grown up. I did meet with the department head, the program was the department head up until, when I left, and Mimi retired not too long after. I'm assuming she retired. So that's how I found out that the program began in 88, and I began in 1990. So I was like the third year student. And then why I say 2001 was when why Leap was no longer a freebie for the typicals was when Moose Hill was finished and built, and that was our public kindergarten. And then anybody who was in the LEAP program in kindergarten were integrated into the normal classrooms like you would in an elementary environment. So then LEAP, as a specific classroom, was for the 3 to 5 year olds. So that was kind of how things went. And I went into the LEAP classroom at Moose Hill, and oh my God, they were in like this open environment. Because remember, at the junior high school, it was 7 feet tall with drop ceiling, right? So we had this I don't know how to say this, because it was not a treehouse, but you know how you climb up. It was like a, not like a bunk bed, but you know, one of these furnitures that were made by these OT vendors, right? So you climb up you climb up the ladder, you get up to the, like, the upper level, I guess. Because on the lower level, you know, it's kind of like you're in a cottage, right? So you're on the upper level. And then we had stuffed animals, beanbag chairs, and all that good shit. But it was like a 3 foot clearance, because you're up at the ceiling. I always thought doing that with this media room was built something like that. You know, this be like, I don't know. And then I just like brought podcast from the second. I'm serious. I'm not fucking with people here. I really thought of doing some crazy ass shit like that. And, but when it was at Moose Hill, it was like this furniture in the middle of in the middle of this room, and you're on that upper level, and you're like, it's like a playground. You have no, you have your infinite ceiling, no clearance, no nothing. And I'm like, oh, that fucking sucks. It defeats the purpose of having that thing. I thought it was the coolest thing. And of course, not to say anything had to do with the autism with being in tight spaces. I think it was just cool being up near the ceiling, because, you know, there's not that many furniture in schools that you're up on the ceiling. And we had like, we had an OT therapist, I'll leave her nameless, but I don't think she, I think she's aged really well, because she looked very young, and last time I saw her, she was still pretty young. She ages like fine wine. but yeah, we used to have the OT right, okay, so we're, there were lockers all over on the, what would be the south end of the building, if I'm doing my math right. And so, like, where the library media center is, right? So you take that turn and go into the science classrooms, right? Between home ec, science, and the, right? So, I remember we did OT stuff, like, literally, like, right by the library media center doors. Yeah. And then there would be sometimes we would be on the second floor, so there's a back stairs that would take you downstairs, right? And now with the middle school, it's basically a back exit for the eighth graders. But at the time on the second floor on the stairs, we did therapy. It was a blue room. Not blue room, because remember, fire safety, you close the stairs, right? So there's all these doors. So that's how you can get the privacy, right? So that's why it was kind of enclosed, because the stairs, you know, right? So, yeah, there's some memories of that, too. And it was all one-on-one, at least in that time. So they kind of, I don't know if we were intruding on the junior high's business, but, yeah, we used a lot of the space in that building. I don't remember going into the gymnasium as a student. Because we did a lot of outdoor stuff. We did a lot of outdoor stuff when the weather was nice. I have pictures of that, to be direct. We were in the auditorium, the auditorium / cath. And I remember the scenes, like, you know, it's always, like, I learned how to, like, talk public speaking was in the auditorium, because we had the PA on. And one time, I went into the auditorium, the cafeteria / auditorium, and, you know, just accidentally not realizing that there were, you know, I'm not supposed to talk when there's students having lunch, and I opened, the mic was open, and I talked gibberish, I guess, and I remember the therapist kind of redirecting me, not in a bad way, but it's those memories, kids, you know, those memories, the good old days. I miss them. That's why I talk about them. And again, it's like I said, this is gonna get really bitter as time goes on, but I guess to close up the whole leap experience, I think what the takeaway was the place had a lot of happy memories, but the peers, the typical peers, I think, got away with a lot where the parents didn't have to pay virtually anything. And what did the peers get from the experience at LEAP? I think you know the answer to that question. And I think that's how I'm going to end it there. It should be a learning lesson to people who are still in schools where there's no kindergarten. Excuse me for typicals, but, you know, you should think twice.